This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 12, 2013. I'm Caleb Brown. The U.S. devotes $100 billion a year to corporate welfare. Scott Linsicum, an international trade attorney and an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute, argues that the distortions to our economy caused by those subsidies take that price tag far higher.
On an annual basis, how much does the United States spend on corporate welfare?
It's around $100 billion per year, and that's up significantly just from $90 billion a couple of years ago.
So I'm looking at Department of Agriculture, $1.2 billion, marketing, the total Department of Agriculture, $25 billion, Rural Utility Service, $1.3 billion. What is the price that we pay other than that $100 billion price tag?
Well, it's several fold. The issue is just the domestic distortions caused by all of the different subsidies we have in place. For example, raisin price supports. You may have heard of our raisin program. Actually keep raisins off the market and raise prices, forcing consumers to pay higher prices and, of course, indirectly subsidize the industry. Sugar is another example of this. This not only leads to higher prices and pain for consumers, it leads to a lot of resource misallocation, where farmers are encouraged by the subsidies to farm crops that they might not otherwise farm. And thus, we see a lot of corn overproduction. And of course, then we see a lot of corn in our food and a lot of corn in our fuel tanks. And a lot of this is driven by the federal government policies. And of course, it's not just agriculture. Energy is another really good example of this, where we see rampant subsidization of green energy in the last few years, totaling tens of billions of dollars. Of course, that leads to distortions in overproduction of solar panels misallocation of resources. So that's the first problem. The other problem, of course, is that it gets us into trouble with our trading partners. We have, through the World Trade Organization, a global regime, trade regime, which permits other WTO members to impose duties on U.S. or other imports that have been unfairly subsidized and that are found to injure their industry. So they can either go to the WTO or they can bring a case under their own national laws. So in the end, we end up subsidizing U.S. producers who then face duties in foreign markets due to those very same subsidies.
So our trading partners respond to our subsidies of products that are made in the United States. They respond with laws that make it harder to get our products into their country or more expensive.
Right, with duties. They respond with duties to do that.
So there's a general agreement among large-scale trading partners. Subsidies are bad and tariffs are bad. So why are we constantly engaged in this sort of tit-for-tat?
Well, choice politics. The politics of subsidies are great. In the United States, unfortunately, it's a bipartisan epidemic. We have not only folks on the left who love industrial policy and who really like to shower favored industries with money, but you also see it on the right. You see Tea Party icon like Marco Rubio defending sugar subsidies because, of course, he has sugar growers in his state. So the politics of it are great. And I would just add that, of course, the United States isn't the only offender here. It's every country subsidizes. And in fact, after the financial crisis in 2008-2009, we saw a dramatic increase in the level of subsidies for favored industries and a lot of fiscal stimulus. And of course, we've seen an attendant rise in anti-subsidy actions and tariffs. So what we really are having is kind of this global subsidy war, if you will.
So governments are allowed to engage in setting tariffs, even though we've seen a sort of a general downward trend of this kind of response. But even in trade agreements, they're allowed to jack those right back up whenever they feel like it.
Well, definitely. What the system is called trade remedies. So what trade remedies rules permit are the imposition of duties on allegedly unfairly traded imports. In the case of subsidies, we call these countervailing duty laws. And so even though WTO members or FTA partners may have agreed generally to lower tariffs, they continue to have the right to impose trade remedies in the event that subsidized or dumped imports enter their market. Now, these are supposed to be subject to strict disciplines, but in reality, they have very much become the subject of regulatory capture. So in other words, they've been modified over the years by politicians and domestic industries and captured bureaucrats who have dramatically skewed the rules in favor of the domestic industries that are seeking protection and not, of course, the U.S. consumers or other consumers who benefit from increased global trade.
In this kind of situation, given what we know about trade and how it functions and how imports benefit consumers as much as exports benefit producers, what's the holdup from a unilateral disarmament when it comes to these kinds of subsidies and trade restrictions?
Well, there's definitely a place for more unilateral import liberalization, and that would be not only for trade remedies rules, but also for just our general tariffs on especially things like shoes and clothing, things where the tariffs are the highest and, of course, hurt low-income Americans the most. There also, though, is an intellectually supportable argument that certain trade remedies rules are appropriate because they give governments and in domestic industries the assurance that if another country or another industry is engaging in what everyone deems to be inappropriate behavior, so we'll use subsidies as the good example, then they can respond. Because that reinforces the multilateral trading system, which overall has led to dramatic liberalization of trade over the last 50 years.
Scott Linscombe is an international trade attorney and an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.